Good afternoon. It's partly sunny and 59 degrees in Richland Center at 12:07. For WRCO News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. The body of a man was found after a search of a home by law enforcement in Prairie du Chien Friday. Police said that they were called to do a welfare check on a man and found him dead at the home. A 39-year-old man was arrested. According to a release, the dead man had wounds from a sharp object. The investigation led to a search of a home in Grant County as well. Police said the incident was, quote, not random, and that the suspect and victim knew each other. More details could be released today. A student at La Crosse Central High School was arrested and is being accused of bringing a loaded gun to school. La Crosse police said that a 16-year-old student was removed from school Friday after a staff member found the gun in a jacket left in a classroom. The school's police officer seized the gun and police then arrested the student, who is being recommended for charges of carrying a concealed weapon and THC possession in a school. School officials confirmed the incident is an email sent to families and staff Friday. U.S. Senator Ron Johnson appeared to hedge on Friday whether he or Republican presidential candidate Donald Trump would accept the outcome of the November election.
Well, I sure hope so. You know, unfortunately, you know, here in the state of Wisconsin, we have a governor who vetoed the types of bills that would restore confidence in our election system. So you're asking me a hypothetical question that I really can't answer because I don't know, you know, how many different ways Democrats are going to want to cheat.
Despite a statewide inquiry in 2021, there has been no credible evidence of systematic voter fraud in the 2020 presidential election. Johnson, widely seen as a staunch ally of Trump, defended the former president's campaign and his proposals during an appearance on the Earl Ingram Show Friday morning. You can listen to the full interview on the Earl Ingram Show on the Civic Media website, app, social platforms, or podcast apps. More focus on Wisconsin this week from the presidential campaigns. On Wednesday, just 6 days from Election Day, Vice President Kamala Harris will be in Madison and former President Donald Trump in Green Bay. Trump is scheduled to host a rally at the Rush Center in Ashwaubenon, joined by former Packers quarterback Brett Favre. The Republican candidate's remarks are scheduled for 6, and a campaign advisory suggests he'll address issues related to the economy. Vice President Harris will be on the University of Wisconsin campus for a Get Out the Vote concert and rally featuring musical artists, including Gracie Abrams, Mumford & Sons, Remy Wolf, and members of The National. The rally starts at noon and is scheduled to end by the time Trump takes the stage in Ashwaubenon. In addition to the Wednesday events, Republican vice presidential candidate J.D. Vance campaigns in Racine today, while First Lady Jill Biden and Gwen Walz, wife of Harris's running mate, Minnesota Governor Tim Walz, will be in La Crosse. Donald Trump returns to the state on Friday for a rally at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee, site of this year's Republican National Convention. Despite an increase in state aid this year, residents of 14 Wisconsin municipalities are being asked to approve property tax increases, including 5 in Dane County. Wisconsin Policy Forum President Jason Stein says state aid did go up substantially in 2024, but communities with high property values, like those in Dane County, didn't get a lot from that increase. It tended to be more smaller communities with low property values that really cashed in on that increase in state aid. Voters in the cities of Madison, Fitchburg, Monona, and Middleton, and the village of Maple Bluff are being asked to approve property tax increases totaling nearly $30 million in order to cover costs for services and staffing. The largest local referendum outside of Dane County is in Stevens Point, where voters will be asked to approve a property tax increase of just under $1 million in order to hire more firefighters. Wisconsin elections officials are reporting a nearly 40% increase in early in-person absentee voting over 2020. Early in-person absentee voting began Tuesday in the battleground state. The Wisconsin Elections Commission announced that as of Friday morning, 292,702 people had voted early in person compared with 209,665 as of the morning of Friday, October 23rd, 2020. The commission says voters have requested nearly 1 million absentee ballots, with 715,395 returned by mail or in-person early voters. Early in-person absentee voting continues through Sunday. Wisconsin Republican Senate candidate Eric Hovde has repeatedly defended himself, professed lack of knowledge about the U.S. Farm Bill in the campaign's closing days, after first saying in a debate that he is not an expert on the legislation that is vital to farmers in the state known as America's Dairyland. Hovde's repeated comments in the past week come after the incumbent, Senator Tammy Baldwin, secured the endorsement of the usually Republican-aligned Wisconsin Farm Bureau. She is the first Democratic candidate for statewide office to receive it in more than 20 years. Both Hovde and Baldwin say the race is razor thin, with possible majority control of the Senate on the line. With the election about a week away, Senator Tammy Baldwin and her Republican challenger, Eric Hovde, held campaign events in Eau Claire over the weekend. Senator Baldwin and Governor Tony Evers visited the city's IBEW local union to encourage canvassers and supporters to take advantage of early voting. Hovde visited Loopy's Bar and Grill in Chippewa Falls to urge his supporters to vote early as well. Both Senator Baldwin and Hovde have stressed the importance of voter turnout with a competitive election expected. The Wisconsin Elections Commission is reminding voters about the need to be cautious when receiving or responding to communications purporting to represent official voting information about the upcoming November 5th general election. The WEC has heard from concerned voters and local election officials regarding unsolicited communications that may provide inaccurate or misleading information. Voters should be cautious about any voting-related communications, including text messages, emails, mailers, phone calls, robocalls, and more from unfamiliar sources. Sometimes these misleading communications even appear to mimic communications from an official government source. They often use outdated, incomplete, or simply inaccurate data that they communicate to voters. When it comes to voting information, Wisconsinites should make sure to rely upon accurate official sources. This includes the WEC's official myvote.wi.gov website. There, voters can check if and where they are registered to vote. Voters can also review their voter history, find their polling place, see what's on their sample ballot, request an absentee ballot, track that ballot, or learn about in-person absentee voting options. Voters can also contact their municipal clerk or can confirm a voter's registration status and answer any questions a voter might have in advance of the election. Voters can find their clerk's contact information on the MyVote website. Agents with the Wisconsin Department of Justice sought cell phones, computers, and other devices as part of an investigation for possible election fraud by Wausau Mayor Doug Dinney, according to a copy of a search warrant obtained by WisPolitics. During a press conference earlier this week, Dinney said agents said little when they served the warrant at his office last week.
I'll respectfully say that I had very little speaking opportunity when they were confiscating my material in my office. I mean, we all know what happened. One would have expected a conversation with the mayor as to, you know, what happened, but that has yet to happen.
Dinney said agents also showed up at his apartment where his wife was watching their grandchildren. The 7-page warrant was signed by an Eau Claire County judge. The DOJ investigation stems from Dinney's actions last month when he removed the city's ballot drop box from the front of City Hall to his office. The drop box was locked and not yet in use, and it remains unclear what law Dinney may have broken. The box has since been returned and is in use. More people are working in Wisconsin, according to new numbers from the Department of Workforce Development. Civic Media's Melissa Kay has the story.
Preliminary employment estimates for September show Wisconsin with a 2.9% unemployment rate. This is 1.2 percentage points below the national unemployment rate of 4.1%. According to the Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin's labor force increased by 6,700 over the month, achieving a record high number of 3,059,700 employed. This is the fifth straight month of record employment, highlighting the unprecedented number of workers participating in Wisconsin's economy. I'm Melissa Kay, Civic Media News.
As the tax season approaches, the IRS is encouraging you to sign up for an Identity Protection Personal Identification Number. Spokesperson Christopher Miller says it's an extra layer of security that helps prevent people from filing a tax return using your name and Social Security number and then stealing your refund. Miller says people should sign up for a PIN by November 23rd so they can get it in time for tax season. More information is available online at irs.gov. With colder weather starting to settle into the area, heating experts are sharing tips with residents on how to winterize their homes properly. Experts say residents should begin with starting their heaters or furnaces now to reduce the risk of fire later. If they have a chimney in their home, they should get it checked for signs of deterioration, which could also cause a fire hazard. Experts also say it's a good time to check your smoke and carbon monoxide detectors to ensure they're working while checking your home for other heating-related fire dangers. The average gas prices in Wisconsin fell 6.7 cents during the last week. The average across the state today is $2.87 per gallon. This is over 21 cents lower than a month ago and more than 31 cents lower than this time last year. Gas is at its lowest level since January, which some Americans attribute to the upcoming election. Officials at Gas Buddy say politicians have little influence over gasoline prices. The switch to winter gasoline and the drop in demand is pushing gas prices down. Officials say these drops will continue into and even beyond the election as colder weather arrives. THC was discovered in pizzas prepared at a Dane County pizzeria last week. Yeti's Pizza in Stoughton was closed Thursday after public health officials confirmed the presence of THC in its pizza. Stoughton police were contacted after several people had to seek medical treatment after eating the pizza. Symptoms included dizziness, vomiting, anxiety, hallucinations, and paranoia. Yeti's has been cooperating. Officials say the pizza dough was mistakenly prepared with Delta 9 contaminated oil that was from a shared storage space at the site. Police officers from the Richland Center Police Department, in cooperation with the Richland School District and St. Mary's School, will be entering classrooms this week. Jared Wilson is the community resource officer with the police department assigned to the Richland School District.
Officer Elizabeth Deidelhoff and I will be joining sixth grade classes at the Richland Intermediate School, where we'll be teaching the PEAT program, which stands for Police, Education, Addiction, and Tools. We start out with two sixth grade classrooms in the fall, and then Officer Deidelhoff will be teaching at St. Mary's, and then we'll return to the intermediate school in the spring to get the last two classes there. The PEAT program will begin October 30th. We'll have four sessions, one day a week, over 4 weeks.
The PEAT program follows similar concepts of a previously taught program.
We used to teach Counteract. That ended, and actually Officer Deidelhoff deserves all the credit for spearheading the PEAT program. It teaches the same concepts as Counteract, such as educating youth about police officers and our roles in the community, providing educational information about the effects of using drugs, alcohol, and violence, and also providing tools to work through real-life situations.
The program is taught to sixth grade students by police officers who have knowledge of current trends in the community, work experiences to share real-life examples, and the ability to relate to youth. The program is designed to bring together schools, families, and the police department to serve as a source of support and to encourage children to make healthier behavior choices.
The first session will be introducing ourselves and talk about what police officers do, try and build that positive relationship with the students. Then we get into the second week, provide information about drug trends in our community. Hopefully it's an introduction to that, but really stressing the effects of drugs and alcohol. And then third week, we get into how we can stay away from those substances with promoting natural highs. It's something that the guidance department at intermediate school is teaching now, are natural highs. We all have them, just making them aware of what they are what fun activities they can do to avoid drugs and alcohol. And then the last week is kind of a review of the three first sessions with a fun Jeopardy game with the students.
The Richland Center Police Department's mission of the program is to educate youth about police officers and their roles within the community, provide educational information about the effects of using drugs, alcohol, and violence, and provide tools to work through real-life situations. Officer Wilson says the program helps build a relationship between the police department and the community.
Even with my community resource officer position, getting to know the students and then seeing them out in the community, they'll come up to me and say hello, as well as Officer Deidelhoff. And then when I go back on patrol, I run into a lot of students from the P program that recognize me and want to say hello.
A celebration of the completion of the program will be held after all sessions of the sixth grade class have been taught for the year. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources reminds all spearers interested in harvesting a lake sturgeon from Lake Winnebago during the 2025 sturgeon spearing season to buy their license by October 31st. There are an unlimited number of licenses available for Lake Winnebago, and residents and non-residents can purchase a license through the Go Wild system or at any license sales location. All license holders must be at least 12 years old. Military personnel home on leave during the spearing season and youth who will turn 12 between November 1st and the last day of the 2025 spearing season do not need to purchase their license by the October 31st deadline. The Upriver Lakes fishery, managed by a preference point system and lottery that is limited to 500 permitted spearers. Successful Upriver Lakes tag applicants have already been notified for the 2025 season and have until the start of the spearing season to purchase a license. However, successful applicants cannot also purchase a tag for Lake Winnebago. The 2025 sturgeon spearing season opens February 8th and will run for a maximum of 16 days, or until any of the predetermined harvest caps are met. The American Red Cross is highlighting the ongoing need for blood and platelet donors as festive schedules ramp up this fall. Eligible individuals, especially those with type O blood and those giving platelets, are encouraged to make a donation just ahead of the holiday season. Blood supply momentum must remain steady as the Red Cross has worked this month to recover blood products uncollected due to recent hurricanes. Any disruption in the ability to collect blood can lead to an impact on routine life-saving medical care. Blood drives will be held this week around the listening area. They include tomorrow from 9:30 to 3:30 at Lake Ridge Bank in Cross Plains and at Ho-Chunk Gaming in Baraboo Tuesday from 11:30 to 5:30. Two blood drives will be held Wednesday. The first will be held from 8 to 2 at River Valley High School. The second will be held from 11 to 4 at Weston High School Elementary and Middle School. A blood drive will also be held Friday from noon to 4 at Messianic Christian Fellowship in Black Earth. The seasons may change, but the need for blood donors stays the same. Give blood or platelets and make a big difference in someone's life by visiting redcrossblood.org, calling 1-800-RED-CROSS, or by using the Red Cross Blood Donor app. Community First Bank and four banker volunteers will be recognized by the Wisconsin Bankers Foundation's Excellence in Financial Education Award at the upcoming WBA Flex Retail and Marketing Summit in November. Certificates of recognition will be presented to Ann Cooley, Regional Branch Manager, Lancaster, Kimberly Rapska, Branch Manager, Baraboo, Sarah Paul, Branch Manager, Reedsburg, and Sherry Huza, Customer Service Representative in Platteville. Distributed annually by WBF, the Excellence in Financial Education Awards recognize banks and individual bankers for their demonstrated commitment to improving financial literacy in their communities. Certificates of recognition recognize all individual bankers who reported between 5 and 19 presentations in a single year. A United States Department of Agriculture rule requiring newly applied cattle and bison official ID tags to have both a visual and electronic component will go into effect on November 5th. Currently, the only official tags that meet these requirements are 840 RFID tags. This requirement applies to official identification placed for any reason, including interstate movement, brucellosis vaccination, and tuberculosis testing. Cattle tagged with visual-only official tags prior to November 5th do not need to be re-tagged unless they lose their ID. These changes only apply to official ID for cattle and bison. The purpose of this rule is to improve livestock traceability. Electronic identification tags and systems provide many advantages over traditional metal tags, including faster information sharing, more accurate and precise identification of animals, and significantly faster record searches during disease outbreaks. Along with the transition to electronic identification, the rule also clarifies the definition of dairy cattle to include crossbred calves of any breed that are born to dairy cattle. This means these animals will need to be identified as dairy cattle for interstate movement. In addition, the rule requires that all dairy cattle, including dairy steers, have individual official ID included on certificates of veterinary inspection. A statement on the CVIs that dairy steers are officially identified will no longer be sufficient. You can support the troops with your excess candy. As obesity remains an ominous health threat across America, plaguing almost half of the U.S. population, the calorie-packed Halloween holiday looms large. However, there's no need to fret, as you can get paid cold hard cash for your candy. Healthy Wages Cash for Candy program pays individuals $10 per pound of candy, up to $100 per person, and up to $10,000 in collective payouts across America. Through the initiative, anyone can donate their excess unwanted and unopened candy to the Friends of the Troops nonprofit organization on or before November 15th, get paid for it, and in doing so, support American troops overseas. Participants need not be a Healthy Wage Challenge participant, as anyone anywhere in the U.S. can donate candy and cash in. Full submission details and instructions can be found online at healthywage.com/cashforcandy.